Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's Dallas Glenn. I don't know if you've listened to other episodes of the podcast. I don't know if you listened to my work on a different podcast, Playmakers Blog. Please go listen to that podcast, by the way. But one thing I've always tried to do is go deeper and read and try to give as much information as possible. So if you followed what I'm doing on facebook.com/904sadllc, and 904sad.tumblr.com, you know that A, I'm going to be keeping up with a high school in Jacksonville, Florida, Rebolt High School, and B, I'm going to be going into my second season, heavy on the Jaguars beat, but really my third season overall, seriously and objectively covering the Jacksonville Jaguars and providing updates on content. But that being said, all that is going to be what I mainly do as a writer, because I view myself primarily as a writer. But I figured with the stories that'll take a little bit longer, with the updates that will definitely take a little bit longer, one of the best things to do would be to talk with you guys and actually explain what I'm finding. Because A, you might not have a lot of time to read a long article, and B, let's be real. A lot of people rather listen to stuff than read it. And I can get to more of you guys if I'm on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, this and that, etc. So, with that being said, one of the stories and beats I'm working on, the Rebolt High School beat, is actually a very intriguing beat because, sorry, because Coach Marlon White, who's going into his second year at Rebolt High School, is actually under a reasonable amount of pressure, but he's not under all the pressure. The way high school football rivalries work, if you weren't familiar, you can go 1-9. But if that one win is against your high school rival, the season isn't completely lost. Going to Stanton, the Stanton-Paxton game was uber important. There was one point in time where we played Paxton twice a year. I believe that was during our independent days where we could choose our own schedule and both schools were independent and we did a home and home within the year. If Stanton went 2-8, which happened a lot, and those two wins were against Paxton, Paxton really couldn't say that much because chances are, with the way both schools were, the two games they lost to Stanton probably kept them from going to a bowl. Even as independents who are not good, the rivalry game does matter. Coach Marlon White, this year, their district, Rebolt, it'll be Rebolt, Raines, Terry Parker, and Yulee. It'll be a 4-team district. And Rebolt has home games against Raines, which will be the Northwest Classic, and Terry Parker. Those games are in the back half of the season. I also think their district games will be back to back to back. I have to double check on that. But Yulee will be the only away game, which honestly makes sense for Yulee to not give that up because they're in Yulee. You kind of want a district game to be at home. You kind of want to bring your district opponent all the way outside of their comfort zone. So I was smart by their head coach to at least get one of Rebolt's games, to be away. But there's other parts of the schedule too that make it to where just beating Reigns this year isn't really going to be a successful season for Rebolt. Because the schedule they have this year sets an extremely high standard for them moving forward. Their schedule really is one of probably the most difficult in the city, but it may be one of the more difficult in the entire state. In order, the spring game, they face Andrew Jackson, who has three Jacksonville Sharks on his coaching staff. Kickoff Classic is against First Coast, which has a coach that's been there for over a decade. The Bowl City Showcase, which will be on a neutral field, will be against Creekside at Bowls. They have Trinity Christian away. Trinity Christian is going to be in 2A this year. The history says that, Trinity Christian has a slow start and everything, but you're going up against a state power. going up against a school that's gotten multiple guys to the Power Five and some guys like Sean Wade, who are probably still going to be high NFL draft picks despite shaky seasons. You play Lee at home, which, by the way, Reebolt's the number one wide receiver. I got word from two sources. Their number one wide receiver actually transferred to Lee. The Lee game will be the 10th of September, and it's the fifth game on their schedule overall. Granted, the Jackson game is the spring game, and that will be in May, but they have August and September to prepare for the Lee game, and their number one wide receiver basically has from now until September 10th to get reacclimated to a different offense and a different system and be ready to go against, let's be honest, a couple of DBs that he knows, the guys that will be covering him. After the Lee game, they play Westside at home. Then on the 24th of September, they play Sandalwood. It's another team that's had stable coaching, and that's another team where when you look, they've been okay getting guys to college. 1st of October, first district game, Yulee, away. Far travel. You know, it's a young team over there in Yulee, from what I hear. And you just never know when you're going on the road that far and when now it's a district game and things matter. And your first district game is so late. After Yulee, on the 8th of October, Reebok plays Fletcher. Again, Fletcher's one of the schools that have had pretty stable coaching. Fletcher is also in Neptune Beach. Day to day, kids are pretty much together. A lot of chemistry. And Fletcher's always been solid. Fletcher's usually been regularly appearing in the playoffs. Then you have Terry Parker, district game. From what I hear, Terry Parker finished very strong last season. They may be going in and building a lot of momentum. Then Westside Classic, October 23rd, rains. Three district games in a four-team district in 4 weeks. You end your district run with the Westside Classic. And the Westside Classic is at home. You get a bye after the Westside Classic. And then the team you played in the spring, you end your season with Jackson. And much like the NFL preseason, partly because you got new guys coming in, you got guys going out and all that good stuff, the spring game, both teams aren't going to be what they will be at the end of the season. Between injuries, new plays, chemistry, guys stepping up, guys falling off. If you're talking about Reigns and Reebolt going down to the wire and the Westside Classic being uberly important, and then you have to end the season after a bye with a team you played the spring game against, that is a lot. When you have a schedule that's difficult and a time where coaches really can't make their own schedules because of how the FHSAA has been during the COVID era, what Coach Marlon White has basically done is said, Reebok wants to get back to a standard. They want to get back to how we used to be. And even though this school has not won a state championship yet, almost every other sport in the athletics program has won state, and the girls' basketball team has won a national title. We are the sport with the highest profile in the school, but we haven't won state yet. Now, to be honest, with the regular season schedule I just rattled off to you, Reebok High School is in position where if they can go 9-1 or 8-2 with their regular season schedule, I do believe they have a very, very, very good chance of succeeding in the playoffs and going to state. When you have a schedule that's fairly strong, you prepare yourself for the schools in your region and for the school in your classification that got lucky with their schedule. Being battle tested at the high school level is a serious thing. It's different from the NFL and the Power Five, where, you know, by default, a Power Five school is probably going to get into the playoffs if they win their conference, because you just assume that everything, like the people they beat, if they could beat all those people, they could beat someone else. As we see in the college football playoff every year, that's never the case. Yes, you had a strong schedule. Yes, you should be one of the best teams in the country on paper, And then you always see Notre Dame or Oklahoma get their doors blown off. High school, again, we know that, okay, it's by population. It's not by money. It's not by skill. It's not by past success. It's by population. You can have a school like a John Curtis in Louisiana that regularly has under 400 kids between the kindergarten and the high school. And they're just dominant, and they could beat a Hoover team like they did back in the 2000s. When you're going by population and not skill, what you're basically saying is you can be a nationally ranked high profile program and we'll stick you with the small schools that have no money and don't have a lot of kids. Your coach has been there for 20 plus years. He has instilled a culture, he has instilled a system, and he has the support of the 20 teachers. He has the support of the principal, and he has the support of all the parents, and all the kids from K through 8 want to play for him, and they want to be on the team because that's all they see as they move up to small private school. When you build institutions like that, and you put a team in 2A or 1A, you know, just because they're in a small classification does not mean that they wouldn't beat a team from a bigger classification. Because you could have a school with 3,000 kids and the football team is absolutely horrendous. And that team will get their doors blown off by at least 50 by a team from 1A or 2A. If the team's bad, the team's bad. It doesn't matter how many kids are in the school. That's why in high school, if you look within your classification and you find the good teams, by the time you get to regionals, there is a chance that you will play an inferior team in regionals because they put together a decent schedule, but not a good schedule. And they racked up their wins and they did what they had to do to win in a weak district. It happens. My senior year in high school, Stanton and Paxton were in the same district with Bartram Trail. Who do you think won the district? Like, every team basically had two freebies that year. So just because of bigger classification does not mean you'll necessarily be better. So going back to the main point, I do think that Rebalt right now has put itself in a very, very, very interesting position. And I think Coach Marlon White has put himself in a position to where, hey, this team is in a district with its rival. Check. This team has a strong strength of schedule. Check. If we can win at least 7 of these games, our strength of schedule is probably going to get us put in as an at-large. But with that being said, our district is not unwinnable. Terry Parker and Yuli are not completely unbeatable, and Reigns is going through transition. We can win our district, but if we weren't to win our district, our schedule is so strong that if Reigns, which to be honest, I would bet my money on Reigns winning the district, then Rebalt. But if even if Reigns were to win, I feel like it would only be by one game. And I feel like the Westside Classic may be that game. But even still, Rebalt is in the driver's seat. It really does control its own destiny. And I know you say that because everybody's undefeated, right? But no. Like, Rebalt really does control its own destiny because the games outside their district aren't completely unwinnable. The Trinity game on the road is going to be very difficult. That might be an L. But you play Trinity that early, play First Coast early in the season, play Creekside. If you can get the lumps out the way early with your district games, that being far back in the schedule, and you playing a team that you're going to play in the spring as your last game, Rebalt has a chance. Rebalt has a quarterback coming in. They say he's looking good. They say he's a pocket passer that can be mobile. They're coming off of Santana Jackson, who was a solid guy. Very solid guy, has a lot of potential, a lot of talent. I really do hope he ends up somewhere. As of now, I don't think he is walking on or agreed to be with a college at the moment. But that is something I'll definitely keep up with. But, you know, they're losing their starting quarterback from last year to graduation. They're losing their best wide receiver to transferring. But, you know, I'm hearing they're really, really deep at wide receiver. I'm hearing they're really, really deep at DB. I'm hearing also that their scheme, they're going to plan to run to pass. So they're going to take some heat off of their quarterback, and their receivers are really, really, really going to get a good feel for their corners and how they are throughout the game before they even really start getting route reps and pass receiving reps. So, hey, as of now, to basically put this all in a bow for you, Reebok High School in Jacksonville, Florida has the potential to do something crazy. Coach Marlon White, going into his second year, has put together a staff full of NFL and college experience. You really can't get any better at the high school level than the staff he's put together. Maybe you could throw out IMG, but I mean, you could throw out IMG for everything. With this coaching staff, with this schedule, and with the culture that Coach Marlon White is instilling in the Reebok High School, I honestly think that the football team is about to catch up with the rest of the athletic program over the next 2 years. I think in 2 years, if Coach Marlon White stays and doesn't take a college job, because I do think that with the way he's instilling a culture and with the way he's building things, I do think he may catch a college's eye if Reebok can have a very good record, 8+ wins this year, 8+ wins the next year. I do think a college assistant job will be calling. If Coach Marlon White can stay and succeed with the schedules he's putting together, I think in 2 years, Reebok is going to be in position because they're very young. They have a lot of sophomores. They have a lot of freshmen. And Reebok Middle, the coaches are doing a very good thing over in Reebok Middle. He'll have the talent and he'll have the culture. And the young guys he has now will be upperclassmen by then. I think in 2 years, Reebok can be in position to win a state championship and be the third team in Jacksonville Public School history to win one. So that's the update right now. Going to be doing a lot of high school football coverage. Going to be trying to update you throughout the season. Going to be trying to give you something a little bit more in depth and something where I can put every point and say every point of the story in a way that you may be able to digest better. Because at the end of the day, even though I can sit down and write everything I've said in this podcast, it's easier to do it this way. It's better to do it this way. It's like I'm talking to you and you're asking me a question face to face, which I have absolutely no problem to if you ever see me around Jacksonville in a 904 Sat shirt. Please ask me questions. Jacksonville Jaguars updates, I probably won't do that in this medium. I'll probably keep doing it on the social media medium because, let's be honest, Reebok High School, being in the building and all that stuff, well, not in the building, but knowing a lot of people in the building, I can give you a lot more with this story and this beat over the season than I can give you with the Jaguars at ESPN or Big Cat Country, Mike DiRocco, 1010XL, ESPN 690. I can't give you as much as they're going to give you because at the end of the day, they're in that building. But for the high school football fans, for the Reebok High School football fans and alums, I will be trying my best to give you the best in-depth reporting through audio and social that I can this season. So with that, thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, hit me up on Facebook. Search 904 Sad LLC. If you have a Tumblr, you're one of those hipsters, 904sad.tumblr.com. And I do have a Twitter. I use it to like lurk and like, you know, research on stories. It's at 904sad. Those are the socials. If you do want to hit me up, if you do want to ask a question, if you want to tell me I suck, which trust me, you would not be the first, go ahead and hit me up on one of those socials. If you have a question, if you have something that you would want me to like look into and talk about on another podcast episode, go ahead and hit me up with that too. I am open for suggestions. And when it comes to the Reebok High School beat, there is no question that I would necessarily not think to ask if you bring it to me. Because chances are, if you're an alum, if you're a recent graduate, which is still an alum, but still it's a little bit different than if you graduate in like the 80s. If you're a recent graduate, you're an alum, if you're, you know, a parent of a kid that wants to go to Reebok and play, hey, that's a journalist's job is to inform the public. So if there's something that you'd want to look into, if there's something you're worried about, I'll see if I can look it up. I'll see if I can work on it. So thank you for listening. Thank you to Anchor for not shutting down my account because I never use this thing. And yeah, deuces.